Now look at your second choice and tell them the same thing. If you have your Bible and you'd open it up, I'm going to read a few scriptures this morning out of Luke chapter 19, Luke's account of this. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're able and you'd like to, the 10th annual Night to Honor Israel in Rochester tonight is at 6:30. It's at Bethel Christian Fellowship, 321 East Avenue. That is one of the most precious historic evenings of the year, I think, in our entire Western New York region. My pastor, Ron Domina, he's the Northeast director of that. And some of you remember that we're here a few years ago. We had Victor Stursky that was here, the representative of the eastern part of the United States. He'll be there, works directly under Pastor John Hagee from San Antonio, Texas. And that movement has now grown to, I think, over 5 million people worldwide that support and love Israel and the nation of Israel. And they come together on a night like tonight, and everybody, they show love for the Jewish people and the beautiful nation of Israel, and pray for that like we always continually and have to do. And if you can, it's going to be an incredible experience for you tonight. If you've never been to one, you should really plan on going. Tonight is significant. It's the 10th year that's happened there at Bethel. And then for you, some of you youth, come on, what an opportunity that is. A $500 scholarship. Don't wait until the last minute and put it together. Now, one of you kids is going somewhere. You're all going somewhere, but some of you, it's just going to take $500 less to do that. So that's pretty awesome, isn't it? As you come in today, you saw a banner up there with all the opportunities. I always wanted to be connected to an organization that did missionary work around the world, not just one place. And there's a myriad of places that are available. If you're interested, you'll have to work, you'll have to engage, but God can make that happen for you and take you places that you never thought you could go. And for some of you, he wants to do that. I know you're scared, but you can do it, right? You can do it. My goodness, if Carol McDermott can do it, Becky Langdon, Shandy, Paulie just got back from Egypt a little bit ago. He's going to be speaking on Thursday night in a couple of weeks. He's going to be telling us about his adventures by the pyramids and his nights cuddled up with the camels. So, God, thank you. Bless your word today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen and amen. It's a beautiful time of the year. I want to encourage you, invite some people to be a part of Easter with you this year. We didn't make the cards. We want to try a little something different, move it around a little bit. But this season is for everyone. People that know the Lord and people that have never known him, they're looking for an answer today. And the answer is inside of you. God has put inside of you, and you are supposed to give an account, the Bible says, for the hope of the calling that is in you. And you can do that. This story about this week never grows old. This just doesn't get old to me ever. It's a story that has a greater influence than any national leader, any president, any event that has ever happened in the world. And this is also a time of the year, and I hope you engage in it. I don't ever want to discourage you getting together with family and friends and ladies. This is a time for you to increase your wardrobe. Come on. Y'all are better at receiving that than the first service. I got some boos from the men in the first service. Well, all the men are happy about that, aren't you? Oh, man. I said all the men are happy about that, aren't you? All the happily married smart men are happy about that, aren't you? Ladies, I'm working for you here. I'm working for you. You got to help me this morning. It's a time to do all that. It's a time for you to embark on some chocolate, maybe. Yes. Amen. But it's more than that. It's so much more than that God has sent his son into the world. And for some of you, if this moment in time hadn't happened for all of us, actually, none of us would be here. But some of you, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't even be alive today. And I know I would not be alive here today if it hadn't been for the grace of God that had taken hold of my life, that had chased me down, and God put his hand on me, and hearing the gospel message over and over and over again until it got deep down into my heart and something changed inside of me, and I begin to change from the inside out. And that's why I love this gospel message. And when we talk about Palm Sunday, we talk about the beginning of the last week that his humanity walked on the very pavement of this earth. And God had appointments in that time frame with the people of Jerusalem, as he has with them now. On that Palm Sunday, Jesus had an appointment with the people of Jerusalem. He rode off from the Mount of Olives down through the gate, beautiful gate called Beautiful, and people begin to wave palm branches. That's where the phrase Palm Sunday came. They begin to wave palm branches. They laid their branches down in front of him. They laid their clothes down in front of him on the ground for the donkey that he would be riding on to walk on. And he had a message to bring to them that would change them, that through the shedding of his blood, he would pay for the sins of not only them that were watching there that day, but for the sin of the world. From that point on, from the beginning of time on, his blood would be shed to pay for our sin. And the Lord knew what would unfold in the next few days. In fact, some that were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," would be some of the same ones a week later that would be shouting, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." And I believe that today, that for some of us, I don't think that anybody just showed up here by coincidence today. I don't even think that there's any protesters in here today, thank God. But I think there are people here today that know the Lord and love him, and that there are also people here today that want to know him in a greater measure and in a greater way. And the story begins in Luke 19, verse 28, that when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied and on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here." I just love that. "And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it." The Lord's calling some of you. He's got need of you. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just love this part of the scripture and the word. He says in verse 32, "So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And he said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus and threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went..." Here it is, "they spread their clothes on the road, and then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" In verse 39, "And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, and he said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent,'" hallelujah, "he said, 'the stones would immediately cry out.'" God bless your word. Bless your word. If you don't sing in the worship service, the seat you're sitting in may start singing. The carpet may start shouting. The walls may start rejoicing. Jesus wasn't coming into town that day on his own initiative, but he was coming to change the inward heart of humanity. He was entering because he had an appointment. He was fulfilling something with God to work in the heart of people and to make known that when he sets people free, he starts and begins an internal work inside them before an external work has ever been noticed. You see, some people are looking at individuals on the outside and maybe in your different stages in your walk with God, somebody has been critical of you and said, well, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't be that. But see, God doesn't never start on the outside. He always works on the inside, and it always takes some time to work its way to the outside until one day you'll look at that person and you'll say, wow, I don't even know who you are anymore. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. You're not even dressing the same. You don't walk the same. Everything is different. What happened inside of you? Because I remember you back when. But God always changes us in the inside. And he always works on us. And as he had an appointment for people that day, he has an appointment for someone today. He has come to have an encounter with you in your life and speak to you, because when he comes, he does something inside of us. I love that. Many were saying, Hosanna. And they wanted him king because of their expectations. They were tired of a Roman government that was trying to put them into a mold and just taking advantage of them. They wanted a leader that would change their social needs. And let me tell you something, whether that's then or now, nobody can change humanity from a social aspect. It has to be a spiritual and an inward work that starts first. I can give people all kinds of stuff, but if nothing changes in their heart, all I do is keep on giving and hand it out, and nothing will ever change. And God says, I didn't come to just to take care of your social need. I came to take care of a heart need in your life today. Because when your heart is right, everything else begins to change. And I love that what Jesus said, that when the Pharisees said, tell them to be quiet. He said, the stones and the rocks would cry out. He said, I didn't come to remove the Romans. I didn't come to just change socially where you were at. I came to change your heart. I came to do something. I came to repair a broken soul. I came to bring hope and life to an inward man, to give you life and to take you to a place that you had never seen before. He said, I didn't come to get you out of trouble, but I came to get the trouble out of you. And some of you need to hear that today. When you walk with him and follow him, you aren't going to be immune or insulated from problems and challenges in your life. But when he is inside of you and you walk through a challenge, you walk through a fire, he will be with you. He will make you stronger, not weaker. He will make you better, not bitter. He will lift you up and change who you are as an individual. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around. He does something inside of us because he has power to do that. He can make stones shout. Isaiah 55:12 says that the mountains and hills shall break forth with singing before you, and the trees of the field, they'll clap their hands. That's the power of our God. He can make mountains and hills sing and trees clap their hands. He can do what he wants to do in you. He can make a hard stone cry out. He can deliver whoever it is that has been bound, that has been hurt, that has been bruised, that has been tormented. He can lift you out of that and do inside of you. Know what drug can do? Nothing that you can snort, shoot, drink, or toke on. God can do more than any of that. I feel like preaching right now. He made you to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The Bible even says that he can bring life to dead things in Romans chapter 4. And in verse 17, Abraham, the Bible says, believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Woo! Oh, somebody ought to just give out a shout on that one this morning. He has come to do something in your life. You don't have to adhere to some dead, stale God full of rituals and rules. We serve a God of power and might. And he hung on the cross and he gave his life and he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of you and to change your life. Ooh, he gives new life to the broken. He sorts out the mess that sometimes people live in their life. He gives a fresh start to somebody that needs a fresh start in their life. He is able to do it in you and I. And he has set time apart and this week apart for you to recalibrate, reset. You got to push the reset button sometime. Hold it until everything just shuts off. Some of you are going in so many directions, you don't even know where you're going or what you're doing. You wait to the end of the day and say, oh, I'm so tired. Well, what did you do today? I don't know, but I sure made a lot of movement. Movement is not accomplishment. God wants you to stop, change, recalibrate, move in a different direction. because he is a transformational king. Second, he brings us peace. The Bible says the colt that no one had ever ridden on before. I love that. I love having a church with a bunch of individuals that no one had ever been able to ride on before. He'll take the wildest jack donkey. See how I cleared that up? I didn't use King James Version then. For all you King James only people, some of you would have got offended. But he takes who no one could ride on before, and he says, go get them. Bring them to me. Oh, I just love that. I did a little investigating on a donkey. I haven't had a lot of experience with a donkey. I've looked at them. I've smelled them. I don't care for it either way. A male donkey is called a jack, and a female is called a jennet. Jack and jennet. A donkey's intelligence is superior to most animals. Did you know that? The donkey's got a bad rap. The donkey has the ability to reason. It makes for an excellent guardian for other animals. Its nature, the nature of a donkey, is not to run in panic when frightened as a horse would instinctively do. Instead, the donkey will stop. See, a lot of people, they just said you're stubborn, but you're just looking over the land. A donkey will stop, it'll stand still, and it'll study the situation carefully before it makes a move. I thought that's just so cool. And in fact, the research says that a female donkey is much more preferable than a male donkey. Listen, all you ladies, now amen at me. I'm trying to get you new clothes, but you're, amen for the female donkey. Yay. I better move off this donkey. But the donkey is there for a reason. No one has ever rode on it. I thought about some of those guys that I was referring to you this morning when I was just testifying about how God changed their lives. Nobody ever rode on them before. Independent, self-centered, self-focused, self-indulged, all about them and no one else and nothing else until Jesus comes into their life at a certain moment, who nobody could ever ride on or handle, and the King of all glory comes and attaches himself to them, and all of a sudden they study the situation out, but they move in the direction that he tells them to go. And that's what happened with this donkey. He comes and he brings great peace, because when he comes, he gets into the saddle of your life and he brings great peace to your life. Peace in the middle of a chaotic time. Peace in a fearful situation. He makes us a peaceful people. And maybe you are that kind of individual that is here. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to do what I want to do when I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to listen to anybody. Let me tell you something. One of several things is going to happen to you, and none of them are good. But when you'll come to the place and you'll surrender your life over to Jesus and let him have influence in your life and let him speak into your life and let him touch who you are as a person, he will then use you in a powerful way. You can walk in here today with Jesus on your back, lifting him up higher and higher for the world to see, and he'll bless you and he'll anoint you and he'll use you like you never thought you could be used. Let him into your life today. Let him have his way. And the last that I want to just share in verse 38. I'm going to close on this. He comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 38 says, he comes in the name of the Lord. He doesn't come in his own initiative. He'll not only come as king, but he comes as King of all kings. He comes with full authority from his Father God in heaven. He comes in the name of the Lord. He is the God of Israel. He is he who was and is to come. He is who the Bible says was slain before the foundations of the earth were formed. You're going to experience it this week. You're going to have that power of God's Holy Spirit touch your life in a manner this week that is going to remind you of what He has done for you. He was, He is to come. All authority has been given unto Him. He was God in heaven. He was God on the cross. He's God the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you today. He is the God of all authority. He is the God of 1,000 blessings. He is the God who shepherds His people with kindness. He is the God who will take the darkest of soul and bring light and life and peace and hope and lift you higher and take you beyond what you could ever go today. Come on. He is that King today. He is that King. Jesus said, I speak into the darkness of your life today. I speak into the hole of the emptiness in your heart and in your life today. And He says, I want to come in and I want to live inside of you. And I want to have my way with you. But you have to let yourself be untied today and let Him touch your life. Close your eyes, would you, with me today and bow your head. I want the prayer folk, I want you to come down to the front. Oh, come on right now while your eyes are closed. Ma'am, sir, this is your day. This is your day. I sense the Lord. He was going to do something great in this day and in the week ahead, next Sunday. The Spirit of the Lord is here today, not to condemn you, but to show you love and compassion like you have never sensed before in your life. I feel like today that there's a husband and wife here. You're going through a dark time. He wants to help you through that. I feel like there's a man today. You're like that guy. You're like that donkey. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me where to go. Nobody's going to tell me what I've got to do. And Jesus says, okay, but if you'll come to me, I'll take that out of you and I'll put love and peace in you. I'll heal you of your brokenness from your childhood. And may I also say, sir, the reason that you're doing that is because you were abused as a child. You were disengaged. You were kicked off to the side. You've done everything you could. Just somebody look at me and see me. Jesus is looking at you right now. And He loves you. Ma'am, that goes for you too. Some ladies in here today, you're going through a difficult time in your life. And He's come to help you and to lift you, to bring hope to you. Some of you, you're here today, you've never given your heart to Jesus. And today is the day that He's calling you. Just as He called for that donkey to be loosed, He's calling you today. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Him today. You could do that. Your eyes closed, your head bowed all over the house. This is the most important time, the most important thing you could ever do. You give your life to Him. Some of you need to come back to Him. There's somebody here this morning, you grew up in a church and you haven't been in it in a long time. And although church doesn't save you, the environment transforms your life. Jesus is the one that can save. Some of you are bitter at God. It hasn't gone your way. If you'll trust Him today, He may not get you out of trouble, but He'll get the trouble out of you. Say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my heart today. I want Him in my life today. I want Him to be first place in my life. Some of you, you're not happy with where you're at, your job, your family. You don't like where you live, everything. You're looking at all the externals, and God's just saying to you today, let me work on inside of you. Let me fix things that are inside of you that are hurting and broken. And then all those things on the outside will begin to change and transform right before your eyes. Hallelujah. Right where you're at today, your hands open. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and my Savior today. Father, I thank you for those who have prayed that prayer. Just keep your eyes closed, your head bowed, just for another moment. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Wow. He's working in somebody right now. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Let it go. I'm going to ask, just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I'm going to have Ryan close in prayer. If you responded to that, if you give your heart to Christ today, I want you to come down and tell somebody about it. If you were one of those, if you're a family, nobody's judging. There's nobody critical. There's nobody, it's just as Garrett said, there's nobody perfect here. I don't care who they think they are. There's nobody, including the one that you're listening to. Far from perfect. But we serve a perfect God that wants to help. He give you the best day. Your life begins right now. Right now. Ryan, go ahead and close the prayer, honey.
Lord, we just thank you this morning for growth. We thank you for a new season, Father, of growth. Coming up, Father. We sense it in your house, Father. We sense your power. We sense your presence in this house in a new way. Father, we just ask this morning that we begin in a life this morning, God, that not one would leave the way they came, but Father, that we would all be touched by the power of your word, God, and the working of your hand, that we wouldn't live the way we've been, but God, that we'd turn a page. God, we thank you just for an explosion in this house of your spirit, Father. A breakthrough anointing in this place, in this season. Father, for the services next week, for Thursday, for Friday, for Sunday, Father, for many to come, Father, many to hear your word, God, and realize who you are. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for newness in this house. We'll give you the attention, Father, for it. We'll give you the praise for it in this place. You have our attention this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you need prayer this morning, yeah, give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, don't leave without coming down and seeing one of these down here. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday.